Okay? All right, here we go. Back July the 1st, was a Wednesday, I preached a message called Why Do the Nations Rage? And it's on the app if you want to go listen to it. But when I taught that message, I had a lot of notes and a lot of things that I felt like the Lord showed me and shared with me that I just wasn't able to share. So when Pastor Sam was like, hey, can you fill in for me on this Sunday? I was like, sure. So naturally, I'm like, Lord, what do you want me to share? And he said, you need to do part two. So I'm going to do part two of Why Do the Nations Rage. And like I said, if you missed that and weren't able to be here for that, you can go on our app, and it's on there, and listen to that. But I'm going to do a little bit of review, and then we're going to get into this word, and I'm going to equip you guys to do the work of the ministry. Amen. Psalm chapter 2. Now, where I got the title for this message is actually Psalm chapter 2 from the King James or the New King James Version. It starts out, why do the nations rage? And it says that, you know, why do the people plot an evil, vain thing? You know, and it's not talking about you guys or the church. If you go on and read, it talks about these rulers, these evil rulers and people with evil intent are plotting things against God and want to break away from him. In the Passion Translation, I really like this version as well, and I think this kind of speaks my language. It kind of speaks a little bit more, I guess, a common language for us. So I want to read this to you guys, and there's just some things in here, guys, that if you think about it, it goes right along with what we're going through right now. This scripture that was written thousands of years ago speaks into what we're going through right now as a nation, as a people, and you're going to see why. Check this out. How dare the nations plan a rebellion? Their foolish plots are futile. Look at how the power brokers of the world rise up to hold their summit as the rulers scheme and coffer together. I said that wrong last time too. Here we go. Against Yahweh and his anointed king, saying, let's come together and break away from the Creator. Once and for all, let's cast off these controlling chains of God and his Christ. God enthroned merely laughs at them. The sovereign one mocks their madness. Then with the fierceness of his fiery anger, he settles the issue and terrifies him to death with these words. I myself have poured out my king on Zion, my holy mountain. I will reveal the eternal purpose of God, for he has decreed over me, you are my favored son, and as your father, I have crowned you as my king eternal. Today I became your father. Ask me to give you the nations, and I will do it. And they shall become your legacy. Your domain will stretch to the ends of the earth. And you will shepherd them with unlimited authority. That's, you need to take note of that right there. Unlimited. Who are we talking about here? This is Jesus. This is prophetic of Jesus. Jesus, he says he will have unlimited authority. Crushing their rebellion as an iron rod smashes jars of clay. Listen to me, all you rebel kings, all you people out there in government, all you people out there that are against God, against the church, who are doing evil and calling it good. Listen, he says, and all you upstart judges of the earth, people who are making unrighteous judgments and saying that, oh, this is right, this is good. Listen. Learn your lesson while there's still time. Serving and worshiping the all-inspiring God, recognize his greatness and bow before him, trembling with reverence in his presence. Fall face down before him and kiss the Son before his anger is roused against you. Remember that his wrath can be quickly kindled. But many blessings are waiting for all who turn aside to hide themselves in him. You know, in the New Testament, it says we are hidden in Christ. Amen. I read this scripture, And I see the world in an uproar. I see rulers, even of other nations, or even our nation. And they're just, guys, they're losing their mind. They're going crazy. The ideas and things that they want to push on people. It's like Satan is not even trying to hide anymore. He's just out in the open, just doing whatever. This scripture says, though, Psalm chapter 2 says that God Almighty and His anointed one is holding them back. And they are bound. They can do some things. They can plan and scheme and try to push their agenda. But they're ultimately bound. That's why they're raging. That's why they're upset. You ever see someone get arrested that doesn't want to be arrested? Yeah, throwing a fit, going against those things. That's what they're doing. That's what evil is doing. And I'm not even necessarily saying it's evil people. It's principalities and powers that are controlling these people, that are influencing these people. And God is holding them back and keeping them from just totally coming in and overthrowing everything. It says God laughs at their feeble attempts. He's laughing at them. Why? Because He has an army. He laughs at them because He has a church. And He knows very well what His church is capable of doing. Because see, evil is pushed back by God's people. It's pushed back by you and I. Walking in this unlimited authority that was given to Jesus, guess who He gave that to? Yes. So we have authority to push back evil. Listen, if we do nothing, if the church just shuts up, if we were even raptured out of here, you think things are going to get better? No, evil's going to come like a flood. And we're holding that flood back as God's people. How do we do that? Quick review from last time. The first thing we talked about was prayer. Prayer. You know, you may be someone that maybe you can't get out a lot. Maybe maybe you have a physical disability, or maybe you're, an older person that just doesn't want to get out a lot anymore. Maybe you don't. I know as older I get, I'm like, man, my body just don't work like it used to. I can't jump and you know, and you may not be as mobile as you used to be and as agile, but you know what? You're very faithful to pray. And you say, well, all I can do is pray. Don't have an attitude like that. All you can do is pray. You have no idea what you're doing when you pray. You have no idea the power you're releasing when you pray. You may sit at home. You may be this sweet mama that is praying over her kids, and that's all she knows to do because she's tried everything else, and she just doesn't know what to do, so she just prays and prays and prays. Listen, she's releasing the power of God, and I'm telling you. And if that's you and you feel like, well, all I can do is pray, no, don't belittle that. You continue to do that in full assurance and confidence that you're making a difference and you're in this battle and you're helping us push back evil. Amen? Prayer. John 5:14. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. Man, do you pray like that? I bet you y'all do. I see some heads shaking out there. Uh-huh. Praying in confidence, knowing He hears me, knowing that it's making a difference. So one way we push back evil is pray. Don't ever belittle prayer. Don't ever think it's not doing anything. Amen. The next thing is Genesis chapter 1 that I talked about. And this is our, you could call it your fivefold job description. This is what God has mandated for God's people to be doing on this earth. When he created us, he didn't just create us and say, here's a garden, y'all live in that garden and have fun. That's not really what he said. Even in a perfect world, they had a job. Amen? And this is that job. Genesis 1:28, then he blessed them. God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea. I like that part. Over the birds of the air, like that part too. And over every living thing that moves on the earth, including that giant 12-point buck. But he gives us these five things. Be fruitful. Listen, we're supposed to be fertile and productive. That's not just having kids. Here's the deal. If you are fertile and you can have a lot of kids, don't just have kids. Teach and train them, raise them up. But it's not just talking about having kids. It reminds me of the story of the sower and the seed. Your heart is the ground. Is your ground fertile ground? The word of God is the seed. When he puts that seed in your heart, are you going to be productive? Is it going to sprout and grow? We're supposed to be fertile and productive. And then we're supposed to multiply. If God's planting seed in your heart, are you able to multiply it? And keeping the weeds out? Right? Multiply. Whatever God is doing in your life that's good and prosperous, are you multiplying that? Are you multiplying it? It's to increase greatly by number or quantity. And then he says, fill the earth. So whatever you're multiplying naturally is going to start to what? Fill the earth. So whatever we're multiplying, we want to make sure it's something good, right? We want to make sure it's of God so that we can fill the earth with something good. Do you realize as soon as Adam and Eve messed up, they started to multiply and fill the earth with stuff that wasn't so great? And then before long, we've got Cain and Abel. And then on and on it goes. Yeah. They didn't do so hot at filling the earth, did they, like they were supposed to? There was all kinds of crazy stuff going on. And then you get down, you know, to even some of the Old Testament stories, they're sacrificing their kids. Horrible, terrible stuff. Like, how did we get there? How did we get there? Well, they were multiplying things that was of the devil and not of their father, God. So we need to make sure we're multiplying and filling the earth with the things that God wants us to do. Subdue is to overcome, to bring under control. That doesn't mean your spouse. Don't go there. I know some of us. No, that's not what it's talking about. That's talking about those principalities and powers. We're supposed to overcome and bring them under control, subdue them, so that they can't just come in here like a flood of evil and kill, steal, and destroy. No, we're supposed to push them back and hold them back by subduing them with the authority that has been given us, which goes right into the fifth one, have dominion. That's dominance or power through legal authority. You have legal authority to push back evil and to tell it no. You have no right here. You have no place here. You cannot come in here, steal, kill, and destroy. You got to go on somewhere else. You know you can do that as a believer. Not in your own authority. Don't do that. That won't work in Jesus' authority that he's given you and delegated to you. So that's kind of a little review of what I taught last time, but I want to go into some other things here. There was three of the things that God placed on my heart that are ways that we as the church push back evil. And it's kind of some weapons even that we have. And it's three things that I want to share with you guys. It's faith. And listen, I know when people hear faith, like you say, oh, I'm going to preach on grace. Everybody goes, oh, I've heard this 1,000 times. Listen, give me a chance, okay? Faith. We're going to look at faith a little different this morning, okay? And it's going to help you. So faith, kingdom language. We're going to talk about kingdom language and kingdom works, okay? Kingdom works. So let's start with faith. Guys, faith is not just this tool that you have in your spiritual toolbox. Like, you know, you use this picture of like Batman. And it's like, okay, we need some faith. So he reaches in his little bat belt and pulls out faith. And it's like, pew, need a new car. That's not what faith is. We treat it that way a lot of times. Everything's going good. Oh, here comes trouble. I'm going to get in. Okay, pulled out some faith and we're ready to go. Listen, faith is not just this tool. It's a perspective. It's a mindset. Not just a tool. You should always be in faith. Always. Why? Because it's a perspective. It's how you see. You should see through the lens of faith. Faith in what? The Word of God. Who God says you are. What God says you can do. The promises that He's given you. Faith. It's an assurance that I know that I know. Amen? And my mindset is that I believe what God says above everything else. That's faith. Right? So, let's look at some scriptures. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2. Says, yes, feast on all the treasures of the heavenly realm and fill your thoughts with heavenly realities and not with the distractions of the natural realm. Fill your thoughts with heavenly realities. Well, what are heavenly realities? How about those things that God promised you? Those things that God told you was true. And when I believe in those, guess what? That's faith. And when I put those things in here and I really, truly believe them, it changes the way I see. And now I'm seeing through a perspective of faith. And when CNN or any other news thing says this, this, and this, I go, no. We're not going with that. God's word says this, and this is what I believe. Amen? 2 Corinthians 5, 7. Very familiar verse, but let's look at it a little bit and see what we can pull from this. For we walk by faith, not by sight. You know what I get by that? I walk by what I can see up here in this faith perspective instead of what I see with my natural eyes. Yeah? Because I'm going to tell you something, and this you may have a hard time grasping this as well, but the things that we don't see are more real than the things that we do see. I guarantee you that. There's a whole realm. I guarantee you right now, right? You say, where's heaven? It's right here. But I can't see it. I guarantee you if God was to put spiritual glasses on, then there would be a split in the air. And you'd see a whole realm that you never even realized actually was there. And that realm's more real than this realm because this realm will pass away. That realm will never pass away. Yeah? Faith perspective. I'm going to walk by even those things that I'm not seeing with my natural eyes, but with my faith-filled eyes, my spiritual eyes, I'm going to say, I know this is true. And we're going to walk by this and not by these things that I do see. So Romans 10:17, another very familiar scripture that we hear a lot. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We hear that a lot. What does that mean? That means that your perspective is shaped by hearing the word of God. When you hear the word of God over and over and over, it begins to shape what you see. It begins to shape that perspective. Because listen, we have like a mind's eye, do we not? We see everything through our mind's eye. You can zone out in here and see pictures in your head. I know people, I'm talking to them, I'm going, hey, is anybody there? Oh, I'm sorry, man, I was deep in thought. That mind's eye that they see, guys, is that a perspective of faith? Or is it a perspective of something else? Like the way that seems right unto man. Which always brings death and destruction, by the way, no matter how good it looks. So we have to be careful about that Faith comes by hearing, and by hearing. And what you're doing is you're hearing the word of God over and over again. It's reinforcing that faith perspective. It's solidifying it. That's why we don't just hear it a little bit and say, I'm good, and we go about and live our life. Right? It takes over and over and over again. We should never say, oh, I've heard that before. You need to hear it again. Because I can promise you, the most spiritual among us are not walking in those things perfectly. We've all got room to grow. Right? All of us. Hebrews 11:1, another very famous and familiar scripture. Now faith brings our hope into reality and becomes the foundation, right? The foundation needed to acquire the things we long for. It is the evidence required to prove what is still unseen. You know, God created us to imagine things, and our imagination gives way to hope. Yeah? When I want that new Matthew's bow that I've been after, that's way out of my budget, what's the first thing I start doing about that? I start imagining me pulling that bow back on that big buck I talked about. Right? That's the first step. I start imagining it. Then what does that do? It starts bringing hope in there. Maybe I can do this. Maybe we can sell one of the kids. Or, oh, wait, that's probably not a good idea. Because one of them costs about as much as they're expensive. But you know what I start doing? I start thinking, you know, it starts bringing hope to me. Maybe there is a way. You know? Maybe there is. And then before long, things start happening. I say, you know what? I know I'm going to get one. I know it. It's the same thing with the Word of God and faith. You get a bad report from the doctor, and you're like, oh my gosh, I don't like this. And then you start getting in the Word, and maybe you're already in the Word, and you know some scriptures, and those scriptures start coming to mind, and you're like, you imagine yourself being healed. And it brings hope. Maybe this is what God wants for me. And then what? You move from there to this place where it's full assurance of, I know what God's word says. I will be healed. I am healed. Amen? It works that way. It works that way, guys. And faith is this foundation that we need to go from the natural to the spiritual, reach in there and grab what he has for us and pull it back into the natural. Amen? It's that foundation. And it's got to be a mindset and a perspective of all of us. Like I say, we're not just pulling out that tool. It's time to use it. No, it's just the way you see. It's just who you are. Skip down a little farther to Hebrews 11:6. And without faith living within us, it is impossible to please God. What does that tell? What that tells me is when I don't think like him, it's not pleasing to him. But when I do think like him, it pleases my Father. Amen? For we come to God in faith, knowing that he is real. Knowing that God is real takes faith. And that he rewards the faith of those who passionately seek him. I believe that blessings naturally come by having a faith perspective. They just come. Why? Because I am blessed. Why? Because I'm a child. I'm his kid. That's what he said. A lot of times we go seeking the blessing. Oh, I want the blessing. No, you are. You just are blessed. Yeah, but I need the blessing. I want the blessing. No, you are. You're blessed. And you have to have that perspective of, this is who I am. Well, I don't have what I think I need. Give it time. Pursue him. Right? You may come to find out that's not really what you need. Amen? Amen. I want to please my Father. And how do I do that? By thinking like he does. And the reality of that is, guys, is you have the mind of Christ. If you're born again, you have his mind. Where is it? It's in your spirit man. And you can access it whenever you need to access it. You should be accessing it all the time. Right? So can we please our Father? Yeah. Walking in the Spirit. Because when we walk in the Spirit, we're accessing the mind of Christ. When we're accessing the mind of Christ, we're thinking like God does. When we think like God does, He smiles over us. It's kind of like your kid. You ever had a kid that you're trying to teach them something and show them something, they just don't get it? And you, over and over again, and they just don't get it? I think it usually happens, when they hit like 25 and they come back to you and go, "You were right, Dad." Hopefully my son will do that. I think I've done that. I don't know. You were 38. Yeah. But it brings so much joy when my son or my daughter is like, "Okay, I see that. I understand why you want me to do it that way. That's thank you, Dad. You know, whatever. I get it now." And I'm smiling, going, "They got it." And that's God. They got it. They got it. Luke 1:37, nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. Look at this. Not one promise from God is empty of power. Not one of them. But the only way to access it is you got to start with your faith-filled perspective to believe that His promises are true. For nothing is impossible with God. That's a faith-filled perspective. That's a faith-filled perspective. Something comes up, "Oh, we're sunk, we're done." That's not God. Where'd you get that attitude from? Not God. Probably TV. Probably the news. You gotta be careful with that stuff. They're feeding us a bunch of junk. A lot of people just open their mouth and just, "Oh, well, they said it, so I believe it." Come on now. Come on. Romans 1:16-17. This is a good one. "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who does what? Believes." What's faith? Believing. You know, before someone gets born again, that God gives them the ability to, in their mind and their heart, which we're going to get to that in just a second, believe that He is who He says He is, that He really did go to the cross, He really did die for all humanity, and He really did raise from the dead. They get that perspective, and they see that. And then what happens? They confess with their mouth and believe in their heart. Which brings me to the next thing here. Well, actually, before we do that, I don't want to leave the scripture out because this scripture is really important here. I want to keep reading here. It goes down here, it says, "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, 'The just shall live by faith.'" I look at that phrase, "from faith to faith." From faith to faith. What that shows me is you're going from one point to another point. Here's the deal. You have to grow in this. You're not just going to wake up one morning and go, "I'm there. My perspective is completely faith-filled." No, you grow in it. You go from one aspect and one level of it to another level of it. That's why faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. Because as you're doing that and you're feeding on the Word, you're feeding on the Word, what is happening? You're growing and you're knowing. You're growing in your assurance. Right? So I'm telling you guys, it's not just a one-stop deal. It is a lifetime. And I guarantee you, five years from now, you are to be more convinced than ever. More convinced than ever. Another 5 years from now, even more convinced. Because you're going from faith to faith to faith to another level of faith, another level of faith, another level of faith. Yeah. Amen? Let's go to this next point here. Kingdom language. Listen, faith in God's word will produce a kingdom language from your mouth. When you get this faith perspective, you're going to start speaking what you got here and what you see through this faith perspective. Right? If I was to hang out with some of you guys, you know, at church, you can fool me. You can do some Christianese at me and praise God. But if I was to really hang out with you, I would really, really know what your perspective was and if it was faith-filled or if it was not. Because eventually you're going to slip up, and eventually it's going to come out, right? And if I was around you enough, I'd be able to tell, oh, they have a good faith-filled perspective, or not so much, right? Luke chapter 6, verse 45, a good man out of the good treasures of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasures of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So the question is, what is your heart? What is your heart? Your heart, guys, you're a three-part being. You're a spirit. You're a soul, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions, your intellect. And you live in a body. When you get born again, your spirit is united with God's spirit. You're one with Him. That spirit is incorruptible. It's perfect. But your mind and your soul isn't. Your thinking isn't. It's got to be renewed by the Word of God. Well, your body, sorry guys, you got to get a new one. You know, we're going to maintain it best we can here, but you're going to have to get a new one. And when you die, your spirit and soul will go to heaven, hopefully not to hell. If you know Jesus, we know we're going to heaven and we're going to get a new body. But here's the deal. Your heart is your spirit and your soul in union. And this is one reason why I know that. There's scripture to back that up. I don't have time to go there. There's one in Hebrews 4, I believe it's 4:12. But here's the deal with that, guys. Some of you guys are heart sick because you don't renew your mind, but you're born again. And your spirit is going one way, and your mind wants to go another way. And you don't understand why you're grumpy or upset or just don't feel right. I don't get it. It's like, you know, when I was a kid and I would see this smoking hot girl and think, I don't want to date her. And I'd get to know her and she's just the devil in a red dress. But she's beautiful. And my spirit's going, uh-uh. Don't even go there. But my mind's going, oh, yeah, this is awesome, right? And there's this internal tug of war. I'm heartsick. Right? Yeah. That's why we got to get our mind, our perspective, to be a faith-filled perspective, because it will actually line up with what your spirit says. And your heart won't be. And listen, out of that abundance of the heart, your spirit and your soul working together, you're going to speak forth what? Kingdom language. But if you don't, what are you going to speak forth? Divided language, worldly language. You're going to be tossed to and fro. One day it's, yay, God, and the next day it's, well, I'm not really sure. Right? You have a divided heart. We don't want a divided heart. We want the abundance of our heart to be spilling forth faith-filled words of the kingdom. Amen? Proverbs 18:21. Another very familiar scripture. Your words are so powerful that they will kill or give life. You know, let me just throw this out there. Sometimes your words do need to kill. Because there are some things that you need to speak to, and you need to speak death to it, like cancer. Yeah, heart disease, diabetes, division, racism, which... Racism, just I'm going to throw this out here. Racism is a lie. There's one race. It's called the human race. The enemy comes in and divides us. We're all brothers and sisters. So that's a whole nother sermon that I ain't got time to tell you about. But I can speak death to that. Right? And I'm going to speak life to other things that they may live and prosper. It says, and a talkative person will reap the consequences. Man, if you're a talkative person, they better be kingdom language, because it gets you in trouble. Colossians chapter 4. I believe it's actually 5 through 6. I got 4 through 6, but anyways, y'all can go back and look at that later. It says, walk in the wisdom of God as you live before the unbelievers, and make it your duty to make him known. Do you know we walk before unbelievers all the time, and the words that come out of our mouth and the actions that we do, they're watching. If you look just like them, they go, well, why would I want that? I got enough problems. You know? I know people, they're like, why would I go to church? All you other people do is fight and fuss, and I do that in my own home. Why would I want to come to a body and do that? You know? I'm like, woo, that's right. Jesus prayed that we'd be in unity. We better get along. Amen? Not that we do that here. Just, I've been around for a while, so. Where was I at here? Walk in wisdom, right? Because of the unbelievers before you guys. Let every word you speak be drenched with grace and tempered with truth and clarity. For then you will be prepared to give a respectful answer to anyone who asks about your faith. See, when I have this faith perspective and I'm speaking kingdom language, you ain't got to worry about the answer you're going to give. It's going to be a faith-filled answer. If you have a faith perspective and you're speaking kingdom language, you're going to be able to give a respectful answer. Because I can promise you, if it's faith perspective, it's rooted and grounded in love. Right? I'm just going to throw this out there. It upsets me when people will get on Facebook and blast somebody on there just to stir the pot and get a reaction. I'm like, you act like your father is the devil when you do that. I'm just telling you, don't do that. That's not of God. That's hateful. It's not respectful. We want to win people. We don't want to run them off. How many people have you won over by arguing with? Zero. Right? I'm not saying we agree with them and go along with what they're doing, but there's better ways. Man. Mark 11:22. This is a very famous one. Good verse. Jesus replied, let the faith of God be in you. Listen to the truth I speak to you. If someone says to this mountain with great faith and having no doubt, mountain be lifted up, thrown into the midst of the sea, and believes that what he says will happen, it will be done. Do you see how believing and speaking are working hand in hand right here? Yes. Yeah? Working hand in hand. This is the reason I urge you to boldly believe for whatever you ask for in prayer. Be convinced that you have received it and it will be yours. Be convinced. Sometimes we pray and if it be thy will. What? Come on. What are you doing? It's like, I don't know. It's like playing washers and just throwing one up. Maybe it'll get in there. Right? That's not how we pray. So, well, I don't know the will of God. You have a whole book. It's the will of God. Get in there. Come on. All right. So one more scripture here. Matthew 21:21 says, Jesus replied, listen to the truth. If you have no doubt of God's power and speak, there it is again, and speak out of faithfulness, you can be the one who speaks to a tree and it wither. If y'all remember this story, Jesus went up to a fig tree. It didn't have fruit on it. And he cursed the tree. They come back the next morning. The tree's dead. They were like, how did he do that? He said, look, if you believe and you have faith, you can speak to the tree. Drop that tree dead too. Amen. Kingdom language words are words like this. Faith. Words of faith. Words of hope. Words of love. Words of joy, words of peace and encouragement, words of life. Words of strength. Sometimes we need to strengthen one another. Amen. Words of courage. Words of victory. Amen. So if we get this faith perspective and we start speaking these things, what's the next step? Kingdom works. It's kingdom works. See, faith produces faith-filled words, kingdom language, which produces kingdom works. If I'm believing it and I'm speaking it, I'm going to end up doing it. How many of y'all go to a doctor and the doctor has the right mindset about the condition maybe that you're in? Maybe he did a test and you were strep positive. Got, you know, strep throat. Not feeling good. Oh, I know how to test for this. We know how to treat it. And he speaks to you and he gives you a prescription and tells you what to take, but he doesn't take any action to actually get the medicine in you. Wouldn't that be goofy? That's a lot of times how we are with our faith. We'll think the right way. We'll even speak it, but I'm not laying hands on you and praying. What if it doesn't work? I'm not going to go give food to these people down here. They're beneath me or whatever. You know, just all kinds of things. We don't want to go there. Right? If we're thinking it and we're speaking it, we better be doing it. We better be doing it as well. And we're going to see why here in just a second. James 1:22. Don't just listen to the word of truth and not respond to it. Yeah? Yeah. For that is the essence of self-deception. You want to be a deceived Christian? Listen to the word and do nothing. That's what James says. So always let his word become like poetry written and fulfilled by your life. Amen. James 2. I'm going to read this one. I didn't have enough room in my notes for all these. My dear brothers and sisters, what good is it if someone claims to have faith but demonstrates no good works to prove it? How could this kind of faith save anyone? I mean, hey, I could believe, right? We'll see here, right? For example, if a brother or sister in the faith is poorly clothed and hungry, and you leave them saying, goodbye, I hope you stay warm and have plenty to eat, but you don't provide them with a coat or even a cup of soup, what good is your faith? So then, faith that doesn't involve action is phony. That's a tough word. James said that, not me, so don't be mad at me. James said it, right? All right, here we go. But someone might object and say, one person has faith and another person has works. Go ahead then and prove to me that you have faith without works, and I will show you my faith by my works as proof that I believe. Ooh, that's a faith-filled perspective. You can believe all you want that there is one true God. That's wonderful, but even the demons believe, right? Even the demons know this and tremble with fear before him, yet they're unchanged. They remain demons. O feeble sons of Adam, do you need further evidence that faith divorced from good works is phony? Wasn't our ancestor Abraham found righteous before God because of his works when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? Can't you see how his action cooperated with his faith, and by his actions, faith found its full expression? Yep. So, in this way, the scripture was fulfilled because Abraham believed. He had a faith-filled perspective. He believed God. His faith was exchanged for God's righteousness. So he became known as the lover of God. Wow. Faith without works is phony. It's dead. It's no good. Now remember, we're talking about pushing back evil. It takes works to push back evil. When you do good to your neighbor, you're pushing back evil. You know that? You guys know that. When you feed the hungry, you're pushing back evil. Yeah. When you lay hands on the sick and pray that they will recover, you're pushing back evil. One of the most famous verses probably in all of the Christian church besides John 3:16 is Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I don't know that we really know what that means. We forget that little word, do. I can do. But if you're not doing anything, then why do you even need that verse? Because you don't need strength. But we're not called to do nothing, are we? Ephesians 2:10. We have become his poetry, a recreated people that will fulfill the destiny he has given each of us. Each and every one of us have a destiny in Jesus. For we are joined to Jesus, the anointed one. Even before we were born, God planned to advance our destiny and the good works we would do to fulfill it. You see, there's a process here. I think y'all are seeing that. It all starts up here with how you see that faith is a perspective. And once you begin to see and change the way you think to think like God thinks by accessing the spirit man where the mind of Christ is, and by getting into his word and reading his word and hearing it over and over, as we do that, we begin to change the way we think. Listen, our words are going to follow. And when our words begin to follow, our actions will line up with what we speak. And if they don't, this says we're a phony Christian. Ouch. Ouch. But listen, God has an army. And his army has the right mindset. That army has the right mindset. That's you and I. It's there. Has the right language. That we're not speaking death over each other. We're speaking life. Amen? And this army has the right works. And when we do this, guys, we're literally pushing back evil. We're holding back evil. Why are we holding back evil? So that people that are caught up in the wrong side can slip over and not be overcome. Amen? So that we can reach across the enemy lines and say, you're being influenced by the wrong thing. Come over here where it's safe. You know what? They may not even be born again when we pull them over to this side, but it's such peace, and they're like, oh my gosh, I didn't know anybody could live like this. I didn't know there was even a way that the torment could stop. But we pulled them over. I guarantee before long, what? They're going to believe. They're going to confess. And they're going to give their life to Jesus. Amen. Pushing back evil. Making a safe place and a refuge for those who need it. Matthew 16. Now, in this, this is where Jesus took the disciples to a place called Caesarea Philippi. And I have this picture in my mind of them sitting around a campfire. And they're just talking and laughing and shooting the bull. And Jesus asks them a question. He says, who do men say that I am? You know, and they start giving all these church answers, you know, Elijah and all this. And just all this that the people have been saying. Because they thought, you know, even John the Baptist was, they thought he was Elijah, like, reincarnated and stuff like that, just weird stuff. So Jesus says, wait a minute. That's all good, but he says, I want to know who you say that I am. Not what they believe, what do you believe? And Peter, in one of his moments, he gets something right. He says, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus is like, that's right, Peter, you get an A. But he says, here's the deal, though. You kind of cheated because flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. That was God my Father who told you that. Right? And then he goes into and he starts talking about his church. And he starts talking to Peter, and he says, Peter, he says, I give you the name Peter, which actually means I'm going to call you a stone or rock. One translation actually means like pebble, but we don't have time to chase that rabbit. He says, and this truth of who I am will be the bedrock foundation of which I will build my church. What truth is that? That he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Yes? He says, I'm going to build my church on that. And then he says, my church, my legislative assembly. Oh, boy, I heard that. That fires me up. You say, oh, why does that fire you up? Legislative assembly. What do legislators do? What? Create laws. They write laws for the people. Well, what country and nation do you represent? How about the kingdom of God? And as the church, what are we doing? We're laying down the law. This is what the kingdom says. You have authority to do so. We're not just the church to come together and have a good time and, you know, have a, on the grounds, let's go eat and have a potluck, which I'm all for that. But that's just not why we're here. We are legislative members of the body of Christ. And we enforce the laws of the kingdom of God, which is speaking what? Life or speaking death. No, Satan, you may not come in here and steal, kill, and destroy. Yeah, cancer, you can die and you can leave and you can shrivel up. Right? Division, you cannot take this family. See, we are legislated. We're a legislative body that is enforcing the kingdom. Oh, that's a good word. Maybe that didn't hit y'all like it hit me, but it hit me. It says, I will build my church, my legislative assembly, and the power of death will not be able to overpower it. Why? Because we're going to push back evil. I will give you the keys of heaven, of heaven's kingdom realm, to forbid on earth what is forbidden in heaven and to release on earth which is released in heaven. Now, check this out. I want to read this in the New King James Version, because this right here is going to connect us right back to Psalm chapter 2, where we started. Jesus said, and I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell, or Hades, shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Listen to this terminology. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. He just gave us authority to shackle evil. Isn't that what he said in Psalm chapter 2? The nations are raging because they can't just do whatever they want to do. They can't just come in like a flood of evil and kill, steal, and destroy. They're bound. And Jesus right there gave authority to us, his church, to keep those shackles on evil and hold it back. And keep it back. Because here's the deal. Why are we holding the line? Why are we just holding the line? Well, we're waiting. What are we waiting for? The return of Jesus. We're commissioned to hold the line and push back evil until Jesus returns. Because listen, when Jesus returns, it's over for evil. It's done. And he's going to come in like a flood. And evil will be overtaken once and for all. Death, hell, in the grave forever. But until that day, he's commissioned his church, his people, to push back evil and to have the same perspective that he has. Faith. And to speak kingdom language. Faith-filled words. And to do the works that he's called us to do. The kingdom works. Amen? You guys stand to your feet. If you would, please. Listen, you're God's army, and here's the deal. If you're a born-again believer and you've given your life to Jesus, he chose you. You're it. You're the best he's got. And he trusts in you. And he's gifted you. He's given you his spirit. He's given you gifts and talents to be able to destroy the work of the devil for a living every day. You say, well, I can't do much. It's enough. I only know a little bit of the word. You can learn more. Start where you're at. Start where you're at. You know, you have no excuse. In the day we stand before God, there will be no excuses. I hear people say, oh, when I get to heaven, I'm going to give God a piece of my mind. No, you're not. I guarantee you, you're not. He's probably not even going to open his door, and you're going to be on your face. And you're going to go, oh. And hopefully you're not going, oops. Right? Because what's going to happen, look, he's equipped us. We have no excuses. And what's going to happen, we're going to stand before him one day and he's going to go, well done. Yeah? Well done. You took what I gave you. You multiplied it. You increased it. You learned my word. You used my weapons. You pushed back evil. And many come into the kingdom because of what you did. You say, well, all I did was pray every day, Father, and pray for my friends and my family. And it's enough. You know, all I did was feed the poor. I just passed out what was already. It's enough. Yeah? Because what we'll do is we'll disqualify ourselves and just say we're not enough, and that's a lie. You're equipped. The Spirit of God lives in you. It's enough. Amen. I'm going to pray over you guys. And then listen, guys, we're going to go out these doors. You know, we're going to go to Prima Pasta. We're going to go to Sam's down the road and get some shrimp and places like that. Go to Whataburger. And you know, if you were to ask the restaurant industry what's the worst day to work, they always say Sunday. God, and you say, why? And they said, the people are rude and mean and they leave horrible tips. It breaks my heart. I want people to say, hey, Victory Life, I know they get out like 12:30. We're going to be ready for them because they give the best tips. Yeah? They speak life. They're so kind. Right? Will the food come out cold? It's okay, baby. I'm okay if the food's cold. I know you're working hard. You're going to go into Walmart. You're going to buy groceries. And yeah, you got to wear a mask. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, get over it. The mask thing it's sent from the enemy for division. If you need to wear a mask, you wear a mask. If you don't wear a mask, don't wear a mask. Do not argue with each other. Do not fight about it. It's a tool of the enemy to cause division, to cause you to hate your neighbor. That's all it is. Don't even get caught up in that. If you have a conviction that you need to wear a mask, you put that mask on. But don't you turn to your brother and say, you're being selfish for not wearing a mask. Stop that. That's the enemy. We're not going to do that. We're going to love each other. Right? If you need to wear a mask, like I say, put a mask on. And those of y'all that feel like you don't, listen, but don't you be so spiritual that if God says put a mask on, you say, oh, I can't do that. Because some people will take their freedom and their liberty and abuse it. Amen? So you better be hearing the Lord. When we leave these doors, guys, it's faith, it's kingdom language, it's kingdom works. And then you will fulfill your fivefold job description. And I believe we're going to do that. And I believe, I'm telling you guys, I want this community to say, hey, Victory Life is getting out. Or, oh, you go to that church? Many people are always so kind and y'all always bless us. Y'all leave the best tips. Thank you. Why do you do that? Because God loves you. Can we do that? I bet we can. I bet most of y'all already do that. Right? I bet you do. All right, let's pray. Father, Lord, I thank you that you live in us and you live through us and you've equipped us as a people Father, to be ambassadors for your kingdom, that we would be able to spread the rule of your kingdom, which is a wonderful, glorious thing. Your kingdom doesn't have oppression and darkness. Father, it's life and joy. And Father, everywhere we go, Father, we'd bring that light, we'd bring that joy, we'd bring that peace, we'd bring that comfort wherever we go. That we'd be a joy to our community, that we'd be a blessing to our community. Father, and when evil rears its ugly head, Father, that we would be able to push that back and hold it at bay. And we'd be able to rescue those who are on the other side who need to be brought into the sanctuary, Father, who need to be brought into, Father, the place of refuge, so that they can get a reprieve, so that they can hear your word and have the scales pulled off their eyes, so they can see clearly and believe in you and confess your name and give their life to you. Father, I thank you all that you're going to do in and through our lives. I pray that the testimonies will be numerous. Too many to share. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hey guys, if you need prayer this morning, we do have prayer teams. Anything that they need, where it's healing or whatever, you guys take advantage of that. If not, you guys are dismissed. We love you guys. We will see you guys soon. Go be the light.